Good morning. It's FLX Morning Tuesday. It's 8:38, and it is time to get healthy with UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Boy, it's not easy being a parent, is it? We were having parenting talk here around the room before we went on.
The best job in the world, the best role of my life, but yes.
So, I hate to do it, but I have to talk about the C word here, COVID-19. We had some people on from Ontario County Public Health. What are you seeing on the ground in the UR Medicine Finger Lakes Health facilities these days?
We actually have the perfect people here to talk about that. That's not our topic today, so I'll let them chime in. But truthfully, we had not really changed protocols in terms of our staff is still masking when they're doing one-on-one patient care. So that has not changed. We have also not changed our protocols in terms of visitors at this point. Obviously, we encourage people to follow guidance. So, for example, don't come in if you don't feel well. We certainly don't want people. We know that there are some the changing variant. We also are looking forward to and expecting to be able to get some people vaccinated with the new vaccines this month. So that's what's going on in our COVID world. But truthfully, from a hospitalization perspective, we're really not seeing significant numbers. We also, of course, are prepared because as we need to be. So I'm not sure if my infection prevention and performance improvement colleagues want to share anything different.
Yeah, go ahead and introduce our providers here, and then we'll talk for that a minute. Our main topic today is sepsis, but we're going to, if they want to chime in on COVID.
It is sepsis month, so who we brought were the perfect people to talk about that. We have our Director of Prevention of Infection Prevention, Heather Bartlett, and we also have our Director of Performance Improvement, Jill McCulloch. Jill has been with us on the radio before, but she's in a new role now, so congratulations to Jill in a
Thank
new
you very much.
Role. And Heather is not new to Finger Lakes Health, but new in this role, reasonably new in this role as well. So we have two great experts on both the sepsis, and we can talk about the COVID topics, and I'm thrilled that they're here.
Yeah, so if either one wants to talk about COVID, do we think that this is going to be just a temporary uptick? Do we hope and we return back to whatever normal has become?
Well, I sure hope so. I think that people are tired of all of the precautions. However, we are still seeing folks being aware, and especially our providers. We are very aware of the potential, seeing as how it does come into our ED. Most people, again, are going home and not ending up with the hospitalizations, but I think it's just critical that we all stay aware.
Yeah, obviously.
and protect ourselves.
And be tested. So urgent care is available. Yep. Obviously, you know, going through your primary care, of course, always an option. But making sure to test. We have those PCRs available at urgent care. You can call. You can schedule online appointments. So lots of ways to make sure that you are being thoughtful and mindful, because that I think is that we it's all in our hands in terms of how this goes.
I don't think this variant has had as many serious cases.
That's the good news that we hope will be the case. I want to start with you, Heather. Laura warned you ahead of time that I always do my biographical grilling of our new people, and she tells me that you have an interesting story. So tell us about your path to healthcare and then your specialty in infection prevention.
Sure. So I'm a resident of the Rochester area. I did start my career in Binghamton at the Decker School of Nursing, and then ended up in the Rochester area, part of a marriage. So been in the Rochester area for probably close to 30 years. So I started out doing critical care. And then quickly was asked to, because of my interest in research, to go into the quality side, quality improvement, things like that. And again, I was very interested in epidemiology. And so I sought out a master's in public health. So actually my background is a bachelor's in biology, a bachelor's in nursing, and a master's in public health. So, I have kind of done a couple different things, but I was most recently the director of surgical services at Geneva General, and then took on this role and happy to do it. So I come with some background in cardiology, in the OR, in surgical services, in endoscopy, and of course my love, epidemiology. So
we're going to talk about sepsis. September is Sepsis Awareness Month, and it's a good thing because I don't think many people know that much about it. I would not have known until I saw this, leading cause of death in U.S. hospitals. So tell us a little bit about sepsis. It's sort of the body turning on itself in a manner of speaking.
Definitely. So actually, you know, everybody hears the catchphrases of heart attacks, strokes, but sepsis actually affects 1.7 million people. And we can say that sepsis actually takes a life every 2 minutes. So this is a very important topic. Our biggest thing is to make people aware that sepsis can be insidious, and it starts with an infection. And you don't always know where the infection is, but you may experience the symptoms of an infection. But the part that makes this even more of a public health issue is that it can go bad very quickly. And the most important thing is to recognize signs and symptoms of your infection. And then as it's progressing, maybe into confusion, some neurological symptoms, as well as, your family might see that, yes, you have the fever, you have the chills and the aches, but as soon as things start getting a little bit more intense with confusion, your blood pressure may be dropping, your heart rate's going up, things like that, that maybe not you don't think, you think I feel sick, but this is the next step of being sick.
So yes. We have an acronym. In stroke, we have FAST. In sepsis, we have TIME. So tell us about TIME.
Yes, so the biggest thing that we want folks to realize, again, is that this is an infection-based issue. But T stands for temperature. So either your temperature may be way higher, or actually can show up as a low in your temp. I, of course, is for infection. So you're looking for signs and symptoms of infection. So fever, chills, aches, malaise, those sorts of things. M is that mental decline. So you start to be more confused. You're sleepy, extreme fatigue, difficult to arouse. People around you may notice that. And you are, if for all intents and purposes, the E stands for extremely ill. Severe pain, discomfort, you can have shortness of breath. You just are a very, very sick individual.
So if our immune system is there to make us healthier, what happens? Why does it go awry and wind up making us sicker?
So it's multifactorial. So your system is trying to fight this particular infection. But as you do that, your other systems are starting to compensate. So you're going to see all of these things as your body's attempt to rid it of this quote-unquote infection. And again, you may not always know where it is. We may not always know where it is when you first get there. But it's just, it can affect every organ system because it's all trying to gear itself to fight off infection. I don't know if you have anything else, Jill.
Go ahead. Just point that microphone a little bit there more toward Jill. And I just want to ask you, give us an overall view of what you do in performance improvement, and then we can talk about how it relates to sepsis. So you must really just evaluate everything and look to make it better.
That's a great summary, actually, to say that. We look at not only regulatory standards and state and federal standards, but then we try to look at best practices. And as Heather is a big expert on this, surveil patients to be watching for certain things that we know can cause issues. But we're also looking to staff visitors to tell us, do you see potential problems anyplace? And then we just evaluate things on a proactive basis as well to try to look for, are we doing it the best way possible? Because our goal is to have the best outcomes and the highest patient satisfaction that we can have.
So how do you relate to sepsis? What can you do with you and your team? I guess a lot of it, even though Heather's the infection reduction person, you want to make sure that those factors that lead to infections are reduced.
Right. Well, and most people are coming with sepsis from the community. It's not usually something that you develop in the hospital unless you were right on the verge already. Usually what's happening, let's say you're at home and you've had a urinary tract infection or something like that, and then all of a sudden you're so much worse than you've ever been before. Well, that can be a sign of sepsis. So they come to the emergency department, and part of our role is then to make sure that we're following the standards of care so that we're doing the best recommended treatment in the recommended time frame. Sepsis is a big focus in New York State, and they have things that we're supposed to do in the first 3 hours and the first 6 hours to follow protocols for the best treatment.
So how do you evaluate all these systems? Do you have, for example, is there video in some of the rooms where that you can review and say, okay, team, we could have done this better, done that better? How do you gather your data?
We use a whole bunch of different things. We have order sets for the providers that list everything so we can see what was ordered. We have the documentation by providers, nursing, and any other disciplines. We do checklists frequently that will make sure we have all the steps and the time frames. And it's a very collaborative process. We have monthly meetings where we have the lab, nursing, providers, anyone that's involved in the process get together to be able to look at, are we doing things as the best we possibly could with the patients we see?
And even things like we'll do a root cause analysis to really identify if something, what was the cause of an issue. Very, very interdisciplinary in terms of the work that they both do. It requires the whole team to be focused on these standards. And we even have things like chart audits, or when we have regulatory inspections, people will do a tracer survey, we call it. Well, they'll come in, they'll follow CA patient and follow them through our system and check at the documentation throughout that entire path. So people don't realize how not only in our hospital environment, but within our practices, for as well as in our long-term care, everything from our Department of Health surveys to within our practices, applying for things like primary medical home, where you require to hit certain target benchmarks and make sure that if you're an outpatient physician, for example, seeing someone for diabetes, they want to look at not just that patient, but the entire panel and say, how well are your patient's diabetic levels under control, right, for example, and in good control. So while they're certainly heavily hospital focused, I want to say that the whole issue of performance improvement is really a system wide focus.
Yes, it is, exactly.
And Jill, do people buy into this, or is there any resentment sometimes, like, well, someone's looking over my shoulder telling me I could have done it better, or is there buy-in in, like, this makes us all better?
I see more buy-in because our focus is not one person. It's especially if we have an outcome we don't expect, we figure that it's a process that we need to look at, because anything that happens to one person could possibly happen to other people, staff, patients. So we want to look at the whole process and see if there's anything that we could have improved roadblock that somebody encountered that caused a problem. So it's really process focused and not person focused. So I think that makes a big difference getting staff involved. They're usually happy to be part of the fix of a process and know that their input helped correct anything that might not be working efficiently.
It's also a system-based approach, as Jill was saying, but in addition, we have systems where people, it's really non-punitive in the sense of we feel like it's a good day when more and more things are reported. So if someone happens to catch someone, hey, if Heather and I walk into a room together and I'm an administrator, so I shouldn't be giving you medicine, for example, but if she sees that I walk into a room, even just to talk with a patient on rounds, and I don't wash my hands, I'm hoping that she's going to say to me, because maybe this is my sixth room that I've walked into and I don't do it every day, she might say to me, hey, Laura, don't forget, wash your hands. And so that ability, and then she's going to be able to then submit that in as a sort of a system issue and say, you know what, maybe we don't have the soap in the right location as a visual prompt. Maybe we're not making this.
Or need more hand sanitizer places or things like that. So it is a good thing.
So what we haven't talked about yet is treatment. So Heather, if it is sepsis, how do we treat it?
The most important thing is getting antibiotics on board as quickly as possible. Of course, as we look at antibiotic stewardship, we don't want to give antibiotics for, you know, viruses that may be on board. But one of the major things that when you come in with sepsis is that we get cultures. We look at blood cultures and things like that to quickly identify where that infection could possibly be, and then prescribe very timely the right antibiotic. Sometimes we don't always get the information as quickly as we would like because it's insidious in very
that's got to make it very difficult.
You know, you're an investigator trying to say,
it looks like something else until the last minute.
Right. So we may start out with a broad spectrum antibiotic just to get something on board. But then as we get all the information we need, we really look at specifically how we treat that patient. The other thing we also do very quickly and as soon as actually you get in there is getting what we call a bolus of fluid, because most often the patients are dehydrated because they're feeling sick. The fever makes you dehydrated. So we really get fluid on board quickly to try to increase that blood volume.
So remember the acronym TIME, T for temperature, I for infections, if you have signs or symptoms of infection. M, mental decline, you're confused, you're sleepy, difficult to rouse. E is extremely ill, severe pain, discomfort. Ask yourself, could it be sepsis? The National Sepsis Alliance is sepsis.org to learn more about the issues. Thanks for the great education, because that's some of the topics we cover I know a little bit about. This is one I knew almost nothing about, and now I do. So awareness achieved. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
And Laura, thank you as always.
Great to see you.
We will do this again in 2 weeks. We'll get healthy with UR Medicine, Finger Lakes Health. It's 8:53.